Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
In our study of 1 Corinthians, we're going through 1 Corinthians right now, and we are seeing how important it is to make sure that the freedoms that we have in Christ don't cause our brothers and sisters to stumble in their walk with Jesus or hinder the gospel being displayed in our lives, right? We're seeing the balance of our freedoms and those freedoms causing someone to stumble or hindering us from sharing the gospel. That balance, right? We started seeing it in chapter 8, and then in chapter 9, Paul started focusing in, helping us to see that balance by showing how those freedoms could affect those around us, right? And we saw how important it is to focus on others in love as we choose whether or not to partake in freedoms that are ours in Christ, right? What's that balance? How do I make sure that I make my decision of loving others in Christ and surrounding my decision with that mindset, right? Well, now we're getting ready to go to chapter 10. Paul kind of shifts his focus a little bit, same subject, but a different perspective. Not just how does my use of freedoms that I have in Christ affect others? How does it actually potentially affect me? That's an important thing to think about. And this is where Paul starts to focus in on this next chapter, chapter 10, how our freedoms affect us personally. It's interesting, he kind of introduces this thought at the very end of chapter 9 when he's talking about, remember, running that race and training for it and preparing for it, right? At the very end of chapter 9, he talked about how he fights against his body, lest he become disqualified from the prize of being able to glorify God in his life. Remember what he said? Look with me real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, he says this, "But I keep under my body, I beat my body, I give it a black eye and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." This is what Paul's saying. I want to be a witness who displays God's glory to those around me. And if that means that I have to beat my body, beat my flesh, beat the part of me that wants to focus in on the things I may be giving up rather than the souls I may have the potential to gain, if it means I have to beat my body in order to do that, that is what I am going to do. I do not want to be someone who experiences the glory of God but doesn't get to display the glory of God, the goodness and grace of God, because I got caught up in pursuing my liberties. So this is Paul's focus, right? That mindset kind of carries into chapter 10. He's continuing that flow of thought. And the first thing Paul does is he shows us people who did not have that mindset. Here are people who experience the goodness of God. These people have experienced it in amazing, miraculous ways. And yet even having experienced that in their own life, they ended up being disqualified because they were unable to glorify God through their trust and obedience in Him. Their lust of freedom and those freedoms, that lust of freedoms became more important to them than their desire to display God's glory. Think about that. They wanted freedom so much. Those things were so important to them. They lusted after them so much that they ended up giving up their chance to display God's glory. So, who was it? How did they mess up? And what can we learn from them? This is important. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at starting in verse 1. We'll go through verse 6 today. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. That's a great key phrase. If you see that, that means pay attention. Because a lot of times when he says these things that you should not be ignorant, these are the places where it's very easy for us to be ignorant in. That easy for us to forget about how important it is. Moreover, my brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. The people that Paul is talking about here are the children of Israel. Think about this for a second. The children of Israel, people that God had set apart as basically a megaphone to declare the glory of God to the nations surrounding them, to the rest of the world. They were going to be God's glory calling out megaphones, and yet they did not do that. One of the most powerful ways that God displayed his glory through the nation of Israel was this section of their history, the time where God rescued, freed Israel from the slavery of one of the most powerful empires of that time, Egypt. They had no hope. They were slaves, and they were going to be slaves for life for their children, their grandchildren. In fact, they had experienced slavery for over 400 years, 430 years. They were slaves. There was no chance of them breaking free from that slavery. That was their, basically, in their mindset, their destiny. And yet, this unbreakable bond of slavery, God broke that bond of slavery in a very short time. But not only that, God led them miraculously through the wilderness into a land that God had promised them. And the plan was, he was going to break them free from slavery and bring them into a land that was flowing with abundance, that houses were already built, gardens were already made, vineyards were already prepared for them. It was a land flowing with milk and honey, and they were literally going to walk through, given that land to them by God. It was an insane transformation from hopeless slavery to everything, the best land possible, given to them with nothing that they had to do for it. This would have been one of the most magnificent, glorifying displays of what God can do. And yet, it didn't happen. It didn't happen in that generation. It didn't happen. It was supposed to be that. So Paul is saying, listen, guys, look at all the ways the Israelites got to experience the goodness and grace of God all through their journey, and see that and see how they messed up and learn from them. And so today we're going to look at the first part of that. We're going to actually focus in on the blessings and the grace and the freedom that God had given them on that journey. One of the first things that they experienced, we see in verse 1, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. We're under the cloud. What does that mean? From the very first day Israel left Egypt, the very first day, each step of the way was guided directly by God. There was no need to worry about where to go because God led them. It says in Exodus 13, verses 21 and 22, it says, and the Lord himself went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Verse 22, and it says, and he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. It was continually there, steadfast. They knew that they could follow him. So God led them through the desert. But not only was he leading them, he was caring for them through that cloud as well. He led them in the desert, and he took care of them through it. cover from the hot sun during the day. The desert is like boiling hot, and that cloud covered them over, giving them shade and comfort from the protection from the sun. And then at night, it gave them light. The fire gave them light and warmth from the cold desert evenings. Constantly and steadily, God blessed them and cared for them through that cloud. This was the beginning of a new life for them. They were leaving the slavery of Egypt, and they were that slavery, and they were beginning a life of experiencing God's freedom and grace as they followed Him. It was a new life of trust. It was a new life of letting Him lead you. And a new life of finding satisfaction in the grace that He was providing for them. This was it. Verse 1 also says, let's go back real quick to verse 1. It says, verse 1, our fathers were under the cloud, and they all, and this is interesting, all passed through the sea. All passed through the sea. Not only was their future secure in God, not only did they know where they were being led, they were also free from their past. Free from their past. After the Israelites left Egypt, Pharaoh changed his mind and started pursuing the Israelites and decided to capture them and bring them back into slavery. And at one point, the Israelites were trapped. The Red Sea was in front of them. The Egyptian army was behind them, and it seemed like it was hopeless. But God blocked that Egyptian army with the cloud, and then He opened the sea for them to pass through. He opened the sea for them to pass through. Exodus 14, 22 describes it. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and their left. What an image. What an image. And they're walking through that. After they passed safely on the other side, the Egyptian army decided to pursue them through that same path. But God destroyed the Egyptian army with the same waters that had freed the Israelites. Those same waters opened up, providing freedom for the Israelites, and closed up, causing destruction for their enemies. And from then on, the Israelites never had to worry about the Egyptians coming back for them. They were free from their past. They saw clearly how God had completely and finally saved them and freed them from slavery. What relief! Oh, what joy! You are no longer a slave to your past. The old life is gone. How that must have felt. This is what's interesting. Let's keep looking. Oh man, there's so much more. Let's keep looking. God gave them someone to lead them on their journey. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. This is interesting, and it's kind of confusing a little bit. All were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What is this phrase talking about? By following Moses through the Red Sea to the other side. By following Moses through the Red Sea to the other side, and by following Moses as he led them in following God's presence in the cloud, they were connecting themselves to Moses. This is really interesting. This baptism is basically like they're saying they're immersing, they're identifying themselves with Moses. They're basically saying our old life is behind us. We are now following Moses as he leads us in this new life. They're saying, Moses, you are our leader. We're going to follow you. That was the declaration that they were making. They were aligning themselves. They were identifying themselves with the new leader that God had appointed to them to bring them out of Israel, out of Egypt, and into the promised land. And that's a lot what our baptism points to, isn't it? It's what our baptism points to. Being baptized, we are identifying ourselves to Jesus. Both the baptism that the Israelites are talking about here and our baptism, they're both pointing to the same thing. This isn't pointing to our baptism. Our baptism isn't pointing to this. These both are pointing to the same thing, which is Christ. Romans 6:4 says it this way. This is so important. Focus on this. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6 is an amazing story of how our old life of slavery to sin is done. It's finished. We died to it. And we have risen up, raised up to new life, to following Jesus. It's a whole story of end of our past and the beginning of our new life. This is the story that our baptism says. When you go home, read Romans 6. Take time this week to study and meditate on Romans 6 and how this story in our life reflects what Israel went through that. Jesus has freed us from our slavery to sin through his death on the cross. And as ones who have been forgiven and freed from our sins, we now walk in a new direction, a new life. Our old life of slavery to sin is done. We're not going back. Sin is no longer our master. Jesus is our Lord now. This is what baptism reflects. Jesus is our Lord. He is the one we follow as he leads us in this new life. Just like Moses walked with the children of Israel, just like Moses continually interceded on behalf of them to God himself, just like Moses patiently led them. Moses had his own mess ups. Moses was not perfect. But Christ is perfect. He is our perfect Moses, doing the exact same thing for us. Are you seeing this connection between where Paul is talking about the Israelite, our father, the Israelites, and how he's connecting it to our life? These freedoms, these blessings that they have are a lot like our blessings. The children of Israel got to experience this just like we do. They not only experience freedom from slavery, a new life, they also experience God's provision on the way. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians 10:3. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? They did all eat the same spiritual meat. All of Israel was sustained by God on their journey. Not one of them was lacking in food. All of them. Paul did not call this spiritual meat, spiritual food, because the food was spiritual in the sense that it wasn't physical, like they were eating like, you know, spiritual spooky stuff. That's not what he's talking about. He's calling it spiritual. He's calling it spiritual because of what it identifies. You know what the food is, right? What was the food that God had actually given to the Israelites all through their journey? What was it? Manna. Yeah, manna, manna. Exodus 16:31 says it this way. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. Do you know what manna means? You know what manna means, right? What is it? Well, what it means is, you're asking me what it means? No, I'm just kidding, sorry. What is it exactly? What is it? It's unusual. What is it? The name thereof, manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Boy, that's got to be good. God gave them manna, real bread, the whole time they were on their journey. The reason Paul called it spiritual food was because of where it came from and what it represented. It came from God. Through his spirit, he was the source, and it gave them the nourishment that they needed in their new life as they followed him. That spiritual food, that manna, points us back to Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said about the manna of Moses, the manna in the time of Moses. John 6:32 says this. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Moses wasn't the one who gave you that bread, that manna, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Skip down to verse 35. It says this, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus is the one who gives us nourishment through his Spirit in us. He is the one who helps us through this life. And in the same way that Jesus gives us nourishment as the bread of life to all those who come to him, he also refreshes us with the living water to all those who put their faith in him. Isn't that amazing how all of this is like, you know, Thursday Bible studies tying in together so much with this? He refreshes us with living water to all those who put their faith in him. This is what Paul points to in the next verse, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 10:4. And they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. When the Israelites needed water, God provided them a miraculous source of water. Do you remember it? Exodus 17:6 tells us about this story. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And that's exactly what happened. God used that rock to nourish and to refresh and to give them that much needed water. What's interesting, this is like side note, has nothing to do, but it's interesting. Some say that the rock followed them through the wilderness, like a big boulder, like following after them, providing the water they needed. Others say that it was this big rock that flowed water all the way out to them on their journey. I have no idea how it was because the Bible doesn't say, but all I do know is that the water was there for them. A whole nation surviving day after day after day, and how God cared for them. And again, even this, God's provision for them points us to Jesus, the one who gives us his Spirit, who refreshes and strengthens our heart every day. This is grace. This is just grace. That's what it is. Think about all the ways God has blessed the children of Israel in this new life. You would think that with all of these blessings, with all of this grace that God has given them, that the Israelites would be bursting out in glorifying God in their praise, in their trust, in their obedience, in their satisfaction in him. You would think that. But sadly, no. Verse 5 tells us a very sad statement. It's interesting, consistently, we have seen when they have been described this word all. They've all been this, they've all been cared for this, they all got to enjoy the food, they all got to enjoy the drink, but it closes, but with many of them, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. The tragic statement this reveals, although they all received God's blessings and freedoms, with most of them, God was not pleased. It is impossible to please God. Here was a people who chose not to trust their Father. Over and over and over again, they chose not to find their trust. They chose not to find their satisfaction in the one who was literally leading them out of that bondage, who had rescued them from that, and who had bringing them on their journey to a promised land. Their flesh became their master rather than God. And as a result, most of them did not accomplish their mission. Most of them, going back to Paul's story, most of them never finished the race. They did not display the glory of God by stepping foot into the land that God had promised them. They didn't finish it. They didn't finish the story. Out of those who left Egypt, who were 20 years and older, only two people, only two, finished the journey. Joshua and Caleb. The rest did not, even with everything they had given to them. How different could it have been if they had only chosen to trust God, to obey Him, and to find satisfaction in Him? How much more could they have displayed the glory of God? Can you imagine that story? What a story! And yet they chose not to. And there's so many things we can think about. Think of all the ways God blesses you. Think of all the ways God cares for you. Think of the warning. In fact, look at verse 6. This is important. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. We can learn from them. We can learn from them. Don't be like them. Find satisfaction in God. Run to Him. Find Him. Trust Him. Obey Him. So many ways. Don't become lax in the grace and the blessings that God gives you. Don't let those things become the very things that pull you away from Him. Be careful lest you think you stand. Be careful if you think you stand in case you fall. I think we're going to get to that later on in 1 Corinthians. This is the thing that we can learn from the Israelites. Man, take time. Think of the freedom that God has given you. Go through Romans 6. Learn through that and see how God uses our freedom to help us, to grow us, to glorify Himself through us. Then we'll see again. Be reminded of that. And then see how in our next week, as we continue this story, first, we see the blessings that God gives us, and now we're going. And then next week, we're going to look at the ways that they abandoned those blessings to pursue their own lusts. For this week, think of the freedoms, think of the grace that God has given you. Take time to read through and think through Romans 6, and then live purposefully to display the amazing glory of God through your life. Run to Him, stay with Him, find satisfaction in Him. That's our goal. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the ways you show us your glory. Oh my goodness, the story of Egypt, the story of Israel leaving Egypt and on their way to the promised land. Oh, how it so reflects our story, our journey. While we are on this journey, help us to learn from our fathers to find satisfaction in you, to find our joy in you, to pursue you, not our lusts, to find glory, to be able to obey you and trust you, and in doing so, glorify you, to tell all those around us how wonderful and amazing you are through the story you tell through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.